Praise the Lord. Let us all stand. Happy to be out tonight. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to say that we just love and appreciate you so much tonight. Lord, we have such a thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, just being with us today and walking with you and being in your presence and even coming in here tonight and feeling you already as we come through those doors. I pray, Lord, that as we come in, Lord, may our hearts be open to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, we would sing by revelation, Father, these songs. And Lord, be preparing our hearts, Lord, for the word that you're going to speak through our brother's lips. Lord, to help us to in our walk with thee and that we would draw closer to you. We just pray, Lord, that you just have your way in the service tonight. And we just give you all the glory and honor and praise in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll turn our capstone books over to page 53. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring, and I'm bidding this world goodbye. I can scarcely wait, I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. When my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing. Shame to me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you'll surely be left behind. I go sailing through the air. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far. Off this earth, and he's going to take us. Oh, what a joy should be in our hearts even now, but what a joy then. Oh, may we just start singing and praising the Lord now. Amen. Let's turn our books over to page 7 in our Only Believe. Talking about the singing, how the redeemed gathered in, and think about them angels. I was talking to my kids about that the other night, that they'll have to bow their heads. They can't sing that song because they've never sinned. They don't understand that. But, oh, what should be burning in our hearts because we know what the Lord's done for us. Amen.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, war stacks low and free from all sin. redeemed. Amen. Gathering in. Oh, when redeemed are gathering in. Oh, war sacks the woe and free from all sin. Oh, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, such the hope and free from all sin. Oh, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
Turn over to page 311. Amen. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. We should have such a joy in our hearts now and be so happy. Amen. Even in our tests and trials. There's a happy promise. The earth shall soon the glory share. Souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy. Amen. Yes. Oh, everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Hear nobody praying and no more
over there. Amen. Oh, how we should just love and appreciate the Lord so much tonight for all that he's done for us. Amen. Brother Sells, will you come take the offering tonight?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly looking forward to the day. Lord, and it's so, it's getting so close. Father, you can feel it in the air, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, by the messages coming forth, we can see you preparing us. Lord, checking up, Father, trimming off. Lord, what a day that's going to be, Lord.
Yes, dear Lord.
Father, these beautiful songs, Lord, men have wrote them, the inspiration. Father, they don't even touch what it'll be. Looking forward to that day. Pray that you would bless, Lord, the service. Bless this offering.
Yes, dear Lord.
Lord, may you just multiply it and meet every need, if I pray.
Amen.
We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, I'm Going That Way. Amen. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to Him and never to stray. Yes, singing His praises all day long, I'm going that way. And holding us, keeping us steady on that pathway. No matter what happens in life, He's right there beside us. Amen. How many has a need upon your heart tonight by the raising of your hand? Brother Philip, will you take the prayer request tonight?
Heavenly Father, we're so glad, Lord, that we're able to be here again.
Yes,
this evening,
dear Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for the health and strength that you've left us with, Lord, that we might be able to gather together here, Lord, that we might worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for where you brought us from and what you've done for us, Lord. God, we look at the scriptures and see, Lord, how that you predestinated us, Lord, and chosen us, Lord, and elected us, my God, to be here in this hour, Lord, to be a witness and a testimony for you, Lord. And pray, dear God, that the desire of our hearts should be to praise and worship you, Lord. And my God, to glorify you, the great and mighty God that you are in this hour in which we live, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy, Lord, during, Lord. And my God, as you've called us, my God, that you're going to be with us, Lord, even unto the end, Lord. Through every trial, every test, Lord, every temptation, Lord. My God, we know, Lord, that you'll be with us, Lord, through it all. And we pray tonight that you bless your word as it comes forth. Anoint the speaker, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Amen.
And he might speak under the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And thy God, bring forth that, Lord, when we need to lead to our soul,
Amen.
Lord. And may it touch our hearts, Lord,
yes,
and strengthen
Lord.
Us and encourage us, Father.
Yes.
In this hour in which we live, and remember those that are sick and afflicted,
yes,
that ain't going to be with us tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd undertake for them, Lord.
Amen.
We ask these things all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Does anyone have a special tonight you'd like to come and sing?
was there in who could stand and place his hand upon a holy God of heaven and a fallen sinful man, and could span that deep mighty chasm which between them sin had placed on the cross. Hung the man who bridged the way. Oh, I love him. He is my everything. He's my
stand as we ask our brother to come deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Let's sing that song, I Love Him. I love him. I love him because he
this tree. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. He's truly someone to really love, because he loved us ere we knew him. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious, precious Lord, again, it is so wonderful to be gathered in this little building tonight and again know that you're here with us. What a privilege it is, Lord, to gather here and knowing that you are here. And Father, that by faith and through grace, we've been given another opportunity to gather here and to listen to the Word of God. And truly, Lord, I know it's nothing I can do. It's impossible. But Lord, it's all but what you can do. For the Word of God is just not important to us if you don't open our hearts to it. If it wasn't for you, Lord, making it something special in our hearts, it wouldn't mean anything. But Lord, as we gather here tonight, through the foolishness of preaching, the souls of men shall be saved. And we ask, Lord, that you would give your word into our hearts now. Take control of my heart, my mind, my lips, everything about me. That, Lord, I'll just say what you once spoke tonight. And may every heart be open and ready to receive their little portion. And Father, may we all give thanksgiving to you. Be so thankful for every precious word we're able to hear and receive the understanding of, the revelation of it. Oh, it's so precious. We thank you now, Lord. Pray that thy will be done. As each one of us, Lord, will just commit ourselves unto you. In your precious, wonderful name, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful, precious, precious, wonderful name. Amen. Aren't you happy? Amen. We ought to be. We've got so much to be happy for. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrew and the 11th chapter. Again, it's so good to see everybody with us tonight. And I believe Brother Pitt's grandson with us tonight and his great-granddaughters, I believe it is. Amen. I pray God will bless them for driving that far. As I've said many times, I see people put forth that much effort to serve the Lord and to come to service and so forth. It just makes you feel like you're not worthy even that you can even give enough to help, you know. But trust God will help in every little portion of the word we read tonight. And may the Holy Spirit make it big words in our heart. Amen. All right, Hebrews 11th chapter. Let's begin here at the first verse. Now faith is the substance. Oh, I've read this many, many times. Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now notice that, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord bless again the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. A lot of wonderful things in those few words. Amen. To just think about faith is the substance. In the original Greek, it says it's the foundation, the confidence, the assurance. So faith is that, the confidence, the assurance. That's the foundation of it, you see. And I want to just bring out a few more things, Lord willing, on this recognizing the presence of God. And go along with what the prophet said on some things. And as I said, it just seems like people don't live like Jesus Christ is there, you know. As if he'd be out in some great far-off land away from them. And then try to claim they're a believer and try to believe they're Christians and all kinds of things. And how I can see as every day seems to go by, it just seems that more than ever, as the prophet said, how deceitful Satan is. To think of it now, and think in reality, he can make somebody believe they're a Christian or think they're a Christian when they're not. I don't think we really grasp the importance of that. That Satan is that real that he can do that. That a person wouldn't even be conscious and have a reality that what a real Christian is anymore. It's lost. It's gone. And I believe that's another reason why people act the way they do. Knowing what they've been given in this hour. I'm not talking about sinners. We know what's going to happen there. I'm talking about people that knows the Word of God. Knows there was a messenger sent. Knows that the prophet of the age was here with us. And know that all this word lays around us. And it's the very roadmap to eternal life. And to have salvation. And yet so many times it's the least important thing in people's lives. That's true whether we want to believe it or not. It's the most least important thing in people's lives. And it should be the most important thing in their life. As the prophet said, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he should be the principal theme of our walks, our talks, our very life. The principle. The principle is the highest in importance. It's the principle. The principal theme of our life. And like I said, it just seems like with all this civilization Satan has brought up and put together and perverted and throwed this and that and the other at the bride, it seems like it catches people so easy. And I wonder sometimes if it, maybe do we, is it we just don't pray enough? We don't read the word enough? Or is really the Holy Spirit there in our life? Is our life really changed there? Is our desires really truly different than what it used to be? Or has it just been modified a little bit through sanctification? You know? And not go into the new birth. That we've been cleaned and set aside for service. And then it stops. As I said, we're in a most serious, I say this many times, we're in the most serious time that I believe it ever has been. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear. If everything comes out exactly like that prophet said, and I believe it will, we ain't got much time left. I mean, we just do not have much time left. And people live every day like we're going to live forever, you know? We ought to know, if nothing else, that our flesh ain't going to live forever. And as I told my dad the other night, I said, you know, the older I get, the more frail I see this life is. You know, when you're young and robust and digging at it and ready to go, you don't really realize how frail life is. But the older you get, you see how frail life is. You know, it becomes more of a reality. You know your days are numbered. You know, we're allotted 70 years, and if we go beyond that, it's our strength and how we're taking care of ourselves. And God blessing us, you see. So life is so short, like James said. Life is but a vapor. And oh, what a vapor it is. You know, I'm getting the age now to where people I grew up with that was a little older than me, hundreds of them have died off. Yeah, hundreds of them. And you think how fast life is gone, you know, just in the natural. So quickly, so fast. And you think back and you think what you used to do when you was a kid, you know, and you used to do that and you had good times in the family and different things of growing up. And it's so far many years behind. Yeah. It's way, way, way back there. You know? And how quick that went. My. I think back at, you know, when I was 16 years old, I was all excited to get the driver's license, you know, and ready to drive. My, it's been 41 years ago. Wow. Been a long time ago. You know? But where does time go? But just think now, if the Lord Jesus appears within the next year, and he could come before that, could come after that, I don't know for sure exactly. But we know by what the Word has told us, what the prophet said, it's really, really close, you know. So how do I approach this? How do I feel about it with what I'm seeing in my life personally, you as you personally are before God? Are you really ready for this great event of a rapture? As I said, people live like it'll never happen. Oh, we've been hearing about this for years. The prophet talked about it way back when, Brother Steve. Oh, mine, he predicted that it'd be 1977 and it didn't happen. Yeah, as I said before, so many got discouraged at that time and left because they left a message because of that, because it didn't happen in 77. But he said, predicted. He said, thus saith the Lord. He predicted it, you know. But the thing of it is, people lose confidence over something they don't understand. And they won't listen to the thus saith the Lord thing, you know. The thus saith the Lord things God revealed. They just kind of, they can't put it together. Because why? They don't have faith. And without faith, it is impossible, please God. Without faith, you'll not get ready for rapture. Without faith, you'll not recognize his presence. That the prophet, I read to you, we failed to do so many times, to recognize the presence of God. But that doesn't mean he isn't there. If everybody sitting here, including myself, if we really didn't truly recognize the presence of God tonight, and if there's a little bride sitting here, just one, Jesus Christ is here. Yeah, he is. And one thing about it, I know his word's here. And I know his word is inspired. So if his word is inspired, then he has to be here. Because it's his Holy Spirit. You see? So how real is these things? And what kind of a faith do I really have? What, in other words, what kind of revelation do I have? Now we read here again what he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it. And faith is an unseen force. You see? The Holy Spirit, you can't see it. Not the way our eyes are channeled. You can't see it. But that doesn't mean he isn't here. You see? Now, the prophet was blessed to be able to see that Spirit moving down on people. And this happening and that happening. He's God's prophet. And God revealed these things to him, let him see these things. You see? But again, what kind of a faith do we have now? As individuals, not as a church, because we are in this as individuals, not as a body together here. No. The true bride of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is all over the earth. It's not one building like this. No, there might only be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 here. But the thing is, the bride is universal. That's the body. That's where a lot of ministers even still get things mixed up. And they do things in their congregation thinking they're the only duck on the beach, you know. I'm going to tell you what, that bride is universal. She's all over the place, you see. Maybe one here, one there, one here, one there. But these preachers get up and they think they've got the only bride in their little building. You just, all you got to do is just feel sorry for them. That's all you got to do. That's all you can do is feel sorry for them. But he says here, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Wouldn't we do the same thing if we have faith? They'll obtain a good report. Okay. He says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed. Can't faith give us understanding today what God is requiring? Like he did in the next thing, he's talking about Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, it was revealed. Brother Branham said it was revealed to Abel that it was blood, not all those pretty vegetables. It was the blood. But who revealed it to him? God revealed it to him. And it was, he was able to give an offer unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because it wasn't given to Cain to know. Now God gave Cain the opportunity to know. He said, you do as your brother did, and I'll accept yours too. But Cain was too big in himself. He was not going to bow down to that kind of instructions. And a lot of people in the message do that today. They don't want to bow down to that kind of instructions of what God really said. They've got their own idea of what they think it ought to be. And then, of course, then it proves who is righteous and who isn't righteous. You see? It proves who is the genuine bride and who is the fillers. You know, I preached on one time. Remember, there's a bunch of fillers in this message. That's all they are, is fillers. There's many called, but just a few chosen. That's why you have all the conglomeration going on today. Creeds, ideas, doctrines, theories, changing this and changing that, you see. But he says, by faith, Enoch was translated, but he should not see death. Oh my. He says he had this testimony that he pleased God. We're talking about something about genuine, not being deceived and thinking we're Christians when we're not. We're talking about being able to really know you please God. Now, how, Brother Steve, can I know I please God? Well, you can pick up that word and see if your life matches that word. See if Christ is living through you and bringing your body under subjection to his word. And it's not you trying, but it happens automatically through you. You see? It's not anything you can do or I can do. No. This is a life, the prophet said, you cannot live. No. You can't live it in yourself. He has to live it through you. Is that why so many doesn't have it either? You see? Is that why so many people just keep trying and trying? And then they try so long, they get to the point they think they're doing right. They think they're living right. They think everything in their life is just the way God wants it to be. That's what Cain thought. He thought the way he did it was just exactly the way God would want it. But it wasn't. And like I say, and then he still had the gumption, if you want to say it that way, that after God told him, you do it like your brother. Come on, don't be so jealous and do like your brother, and I'll accept yours. But that made Cain raise up. And it kept bubbling and boiling until he just boiled over. And he killed his brother. Because he could not stand that God accepted his, Abel's, and would not accept his of what he thought would be what pleased God. Now just think of that. God told him what to do. He wouldn't do it. God, through this message, tells people exactly what to do. They still don't do it. And they see how close they can get to the line. Still make themselves feel, they're right when they're not. But they try to get right close to the line between the world and the Word, and they can't do it because the world will show up every time. When that's in their heart, he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see? So it definitely shows up when it's there. There's no way of hiding it. It's impossible to hide. So we realize by faith, Abel offered unto God this more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now remember, Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How? By faith. How are you going to know what to do and what God requires if God doesn't reveal it? No more than Abel would have knew if God wouldn't have revealed it. He could have easily been talked into, oh, it's nice veggies and flowers and things. But something was revealed to Abel. Something that people couldn't look around. Cain standing there, maybe could have stood there right beside him. He couldn't have seen nothing come to Abel. But something spoke to Abel's heart and told him, it's blood. It's blood. It's not those vegetables and flowers, the labors of your hand. No, it's the blood. Isn't that strange? Clear back then. How would have Abel ever thought of that? Because God revealed it to him. Sometimes we wonder about people today, how would they ever think about serving the Lord? You know, people that just don't care and they're slacking and they just kind of have backslidden this, that, and the other in their life, not really dedicated to the Lord. Well, how come Brother George ever thought about doing that for the Lord? And it's exactly what the Word, how come he thought of that? Because it was revealed to him. Yeah. Maybe two pastors sitting standing side by side. And one pastor standing there, why didn't I think of that? I should have preached on that. You see? It's revealed to one and ain't the other. And it may never be revealed to some. Like I said, there are so many ministers behind pulpits today and even filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. They won't even pay attention to what that prophet said it was. And they're up there reading the messages. They're up there talking about the messages, telling about it. And they ain't got no more Holy Ghost than that light on the ceiling does. That's why things get twisted and turned and pushed aside in the Word of God. Because they don't care. You see? And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, I might sound like Paul the parrot. But how I can see more and more and seeing these brothers that give these testimonies, it was with the prophet, and some of these sisters was with the prophet. Never really paid much attention to it before. Really even never thought about looking it up and trying to find it. And then to see what that prophet's decisions was on different things. And to see by grace that a lot of those things I've said right over this pulpit. Didn't really know why I was saying it, but it's the way I believed it. Yeah. I've never been one for guitars a-wanging and banging and all that nonsense. And then her little sister that practically lived with Brother Branham. She was Rebecca's age. And she was taking guitar lessons, and the prophet told her, don't you do that. The guitars of the world. And he even told his deacons to not, if somebody has a special, not to let them play a guitar in that church. Think of that. I'd never heard that before, but something inside him was telling me there's something not right about it. I don't know what it is. But the prophet told them deacons it was of the world. Think of that. Of course, they brought up the picture about Brother Branham with him and Hope standing, and he's got a guitar. But like he said, as before the world come along in the 50s and 60s and begin to play in these bands, and it took it the way it did. You see? He said, I don't want any of it in the church. And he told Brother Hickerson, he said, don't you let them take and bring that guitars and play a special in church. Now think of that. And look what we got in churches today. Wanging, beating drums and guitars and all kinds of trash beating. And it gets deflation moving. That's all it gets moving. It ain't genuine on the inside, friend. Not a true worship. It's getting an emotion in the flesh going. You But so many things by God's grace. Never seen where Brother Branham said anything about it, as far as in his messages. But in how in his own church, he'd given directions on different things. I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. And I'll guarantee you, if the prophet was living today and he's seen the women in these churches, message churches, dressing the way they are, he'd be a screaming out against it. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would. Oh, my. Let's go on. Kind of getting off track, but we'll go there anyway. All right, Works as Faith Express, paragraph 105, November 26, 1965. Now, faith is a revelation from God. Faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay. Right there, just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace, just like He did Abel. He revealed to Abel what to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're living in an hour, friends, in time. That we as individuals, we have got to be led by this word. Oh, yeah. And we've got to know exactly what He's saying. We've got to know what He means. And only He can reveal it. Otherwise, our lives is all over the place in a mess. Terrible mess. But if God reveals it, you watch that individual walking with that word. They don't need nobody telling them, take this little step, take that little step. No. God will reveal it to them. And they'll step according to what God, what's pleasing to God. You see? All the rest of the people may think you're a fanatic, you're crazy. You're going overboard. Think so, huh? I think one of these days you'll find out wherever there's churches that there's true fivefold ministry and it may look like they're always harping against sin, I believe that's the places you're going to see a little bride go out of. I believe that with all my heart. But this stuff that just lets this go by and lets this get by and that and not pay attention, oh my. Saints, we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Absolutely. And crying out for revelation. Yeah. And it's like we see so many people, you know, in these churches, and they let their young people get together, teenagers, and the boys and girls playing volleyball and stuff together. Brother Branham tapped on the window one day, and he told Rebecca, get in here. You're a teenager. You're not to be out there playing with them boys in that volleyball game. Oh, but do we think of those things? I've thought about them for a long time, friends. There's many times I wouldn't let my girls play different things that a lot of these churches do. A lot of some of you people sitting right here would do. You let them, you don't care. You don't think about it. It just isn't triggering anything. But I'm going to tell you what, you parents have got a great responsibility to raise that child in the way it should go. That's a great responsibility. Oh, yeah. That means it's tuck and nuck, friends, making sure everything's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Brother Brown wasn't afraid to tell him either. Like he told that one little sister who was staying with Becky, he said, you need to put some underneath that dress. It's too thin. Yeah. Need to put some underneath it. Explained to her not to let any of her undergarments show. Yeah. Oh. Just think of those things. We think Brother Branham got behind a pulpit and just not, that's all he said was just that. But when it was everyday life with him, friends, I see it was different. Yeah, there were some things that was he'd really nailed down. Yeah. And people's lives testify of it. Yeah. But where's that Holy Ghost in us? Where's that faith in us? Where's that revelation in us? That we can receive what pleases God, like it did Abel. You know? Well, Brother Steve, I don't pray enough. That's the problem. A lot of people don't pray enough. A lot of people don't wait on God enough. A lot of people don't study the Word enough. A lot of people ain't serious about really making sure their life is lining up 100%. They're not concerned about it. They get satisfied. I go to church. I pay my offering. I pay my tithes. I'm a believer. I read the prophet's messages once in a while. I even read my Bible, Brother Steve. But what about life? What about the reality of it? You see, I know it may seem like I'm always hard, but it may seem like I'm hard. But I believe with all my heart one of these days it's going to pay off. Yeah. I'm not here to gain friends, though I want you to be my friend. But I'm not here for that. I'm here by God's grace to see that you get through. By the foolishness of preaching, the souls of men shall be saved. May God help us. Take heed to every word. You see? So we find faith is a revelation. It's something God reveals to you, and it's His grace if He reveals it. Do you realize the grace there's there if it's revealed? My, that's a lot of grace. You see? Works as faith expressed, November 26, 1965, paragraph 122. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except my Father draws him first, and all that the Father has given me will come to me. No man can understand who he is or how he is except it be revealed to you by revelation." You mean I can't even really know who he is? No, you can't. If he doesn't reveal it to you, you really don't. It's an imagination. It's a myth. He sounds like somebody pretty good I'd like to try to serve. I'd like to try to live for him. I'd like to try to surrender my life to him. But if it isn't revealed to him, you don't even know how to give your life to him. You don't even know how to give your body as a living sacrifice. You don't know how to be a prisoner if it isn't revealed. These things isn't important unless God reveals it to us. And where does it come from? The preacher? No. It comes from God. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal and make it alive in your heart. Then you'll never forget it. You'll never walk away from it if it's revealed to you. Like I've said before, I've seen in the past ministers over the years, they'd say they had a revelation and they'd preach on something. Oh no, my, they'd be on fire preaching it. And somebody come along, some other evangelist come along or something and explain his version of it, and then they're, oh. And then they start preaching the other way. And then a few months later, another preacher comes by, another evangelist comes by, he preaches it the right way. Oh, yes, it's that way. That man ain't got no more than nothing. That ain't faith. That's intellectual conception that don't hold up in nothing. You see? And of course, when the preachers do that, then the congregation does that. Up and down, inside and out, this way, that way. Yeah. Oh, my. By faith, we should be able to see what's going on, friends, in this hour. Truly. He says, "No man can understand who he is or how it is except it be revealed to you by revelation of God." Now, can you see God? Let me ask you that. Can you see him? Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. Yeah. Is God in spirit form? Is that right? Absolutely, it's right. The prophet said that. Can you see it? Can you see him with natural eyes? If you could see it with your eyes, it'd no longer be faith. It'd be scientific fact. But you must see him by faith. Yes. Remember, God is His Word. Is that right? Well, it's wonderful to understand God's Word. You understand who God is. This is life eternal. Remember what we read Sunday? This is life eternal. To know the one true God in Jesus Christ whom He sent. You see? And then faith in that, you act accordingly. You mean I can't really know Jesus Christ and I can't know God without faith? But then he says, well, then in faith, then you act accordingly. If it's been revealed, then you act accordingly. Like he said, I read there Sunday, again, Sunday before, or whatever, maybe it was a Thursday night, about what the prophet said. Remember, people are not conscious of his presence. They're not conscious of it. What's going to make me more conscious of it? If I really find out who he is, and I really know who he is, and I really get him in my heart, I really get a real genuine new birth, I really fill with the Holy Ghost and can receive revelation from God, he'll make himself real to you. Yeah. But he said that's why people do the things they do oftentimes. They act any old way because they don't recognize the presence of God. You see? Then you act accordingly. Here we see plainly that God is revealed in Jesus. And only those who are foreordained to see it. You mean you have to be foreordained? Absolutely. You have to be foreordained to see him. We'll see it. He said, be sure to read the scripture. I admitted it then. It was St. John 6:44-46. I admitted it because I thought maybe not enough time to go through it because that clock up there just keeps moving. He said, notice, no man can come except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me, they will come. They'll recognize it. What was that? Representation of predestination. You see? No other man can do it. No other person. No matter how good, who you are. It has got to be revealed to you. It don't come by me. I only can speak the word of God. But faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. You see? It's not me. But the Holy Spirit, an unseen force that you can't see, has to dip that in your heart. The entire revelation of the word of God. Of who Jesus Christ is. You see? And to know he's there with you. Something you have to have with reality to really know. The angels of God are encamped about those that fear him. Oh, they have to know. They have to have something revealed to them. Oh, yeah. Then you see who Jesus Christ is, you see. All right, I'm not going to be able to get near where I want to go tonight. We'll just read a couple more and we'll close. We're about a half hour already. It's Thursday night. I don't want to hold you too long in. He says, perseverance. This is June 19, 1964. And begin paragraph 22. When a man gets his answer from God, there is nothing going to stop him. I was talking about a little bit about faith here. When a man gets his answer from God, nothing is going to stop him. You're not going to see that. I believe it today. Tomorrow, I don't believe it. Yeah. Like your son in the ministry has actually left because they said they believed it before and then they walked away from it. Now they're clear away from it and don't believe in the prophet or anything. But the thing of it is, if God once reveals it, friends, there's no getting away from it. It's reality. Once it's revealed. Most people today, as I will repeat myself from last night, he says, saying they have hope instead of faith. You find people coming on the platform, talking about those getting ready to come up to get prayed for. They're just built up in hopes. Are we just hoping that Jesus Christ is here? Are we just hoping Jesus Christ is in us? Are we just hoping we really know who Jesus Christ is? We really know who the Word is, what the Word is? Huh? They're just built up in hopes. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. It's not a myth. It's not imagination. Have we got an imagination? Imaginary God? There's a lot of little children, you know, they have their little imaginary friends, you know. Have you got Jesus Christ? Is he your little imaginary friend? Or is he real to you? You see? He says, it's not a myth, it's not imagination. It's something you've got. You already got it. And you're just as happy with it, that faith that you have, as you would be if you had the substance in your hand. Think of that. Is Jesus Christ that real to you in your life? That when you walk through the day and then get carried away in a bunch of foolishness and saying things we shouldn't say, thinking things we shouldn't think, is he just your little imaginary God? Do you really know he's in you? Do you really know Remember, that's the Brother Branham said, that's why people do oftentimes the things they do. Yeah. That's wrong, he said. Because they don't recognize the presence of God. Oh. How many things we still do wrong? How many times we still get upset at people because of something they've done? How many times we still get our mouth running when it shouldn't be running? Because we, Jesus Christ is our little stuffed imaginary friend. You know, I'm going to tell you what, he's more than a stuffed imaginary friend. He's God. He's a living God. He's a God of reality. He's a God that knows all things about you. Amen. Amen. All things. There's nothing hid. He knows what you did today. He knows every conversation that come out, every word that come out of your mouth. And we shall give an account of every idle word that comes out of this mouth. Oh my. Because he knows what came out of it. He knows what the intent of the heart was. Why we said it. Yeah. He's real. But people can't believe he's real today. Because it ain't truly revealed. They have a little imaginary friend. But he's way more than that. He's God. He says, for instance, like this, if I'm starving to death and a loaf of bread cost a quarter, which will buy a loaf of bread. It's hard to believe back then it'd buy a loaf of bread, but it did. Now when I have that quarter in my hand, I'm just as happy if I have the loaf of bread. If I got the quarter. Because it's the purchase price of the bread. Oh my. See what faith does? It's the same as you got in your hand. It becomes, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You don't have to hope no more. Faith is the substance, it's the assurance, the foundation of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's real. How real is Jesus Christ to us? Well, Brother Steve, I remember a time I prayed and my, I got chills down my back and everything else, but I still just don't seem to really maybe live like you're talking about. Why not? Was it just an emotion you went through? Do you realize how many people in this world and in this on this earth and over the years got their flesh moving, excited, and cried, and everything else. And true anointing was there. But nothing else happened. But a good feeling, an emotion, crying. Felt chills down their back. Screamed. Yeah. Spoke in tongues. Yeah. And still no life. Then who is the ones that Jesus Christ is real to? Who is the ones? Who is the ones that really know that he knows everything about them in reality? And knows he knows everything they're doing, what they shall do tomorrow before tomorrow comes. If nothing else, we should be able to see how God operated through that prophet and know that can still do it today. Yes. God didn't die when the prophet's flesh laid down. No. God's the same today as he was yesterday and shall be forever. You see? And if there was a major prophet through the land today, a prophet still here today, still things like that could happen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If a true gift of prophecy would operate, I said, true gift of prophecy to operate. And prophesy. Maybe, Brother so-and-so, you better not go this direction or there's going to be a terrible accident on the road, several cars involved. If you go that way, you're going to be involved in that accident. And then we don't believe it and just go ahead and jump in the car and go ahead and go that same route and get involved in that accident. Yeah. God didn't die. He is alive. You see? He's a living God. He's the same today as he was yesterday and shall be forever. You see? When God, I want you sisters, come up, please. When God tells something that's going to happen, like the visions or something, I've seen tens of thousands of them. And we know by many things that was said he did. And many of you are witnesses. And not one of them has ever failed. And when God says anything, if he would say tonight, go to the National Cemetery, for I'm going to raise up George Washington in the morning, he said, I would invite the whole world to come and watch it. It's going to happen. What? Have you seen that vision? It's going to happen. I believe it would have. God's word can't fail. The word I'm reading right now can't fail. None of it I've read can't fail. It's true. Just like the examples Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, it can't fail today either. People by faith today will offer unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Yes, they will. They will give God their life by faith. And it'll be exactly what God wants in their life. They'll do it exactly the way he wants it done. They'll pray, they'll read, they'll study, they'll cry out to God, everything exactly the way God wants it done. Because his word will never fail. They'll be a prisoner just exactly like he said. He will have the preeminence exactly like he said. Because his word never fails. But Brother Steve, now wait a minute. Brother Branham was just preaching then. Oh, no, 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 friends, you don't understand. It was God speaking through that man's lips. That was God's word coming to the bride. And only the bride would recognize it. You see, she is the ones. Yes, he's got the preeminence. Yes, she's the one to be a prisoner. Yes, she's the one to give her body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's her, absolutely, right down the line. She was foreordained to recognize God's voice. And she will do exactly by faith what God told her to do. Nothing missing. If there is something missing, he'll reveal it to her. She'll overcome it. Press on. You see? Amen. He said, there's one thing God can't do, and that's fail. He cannot fail. And God is his word. This word. Possible. And I know, of course, like the preacher down there one time when I was preaching down in West Virginia, he said, you read too much out of Brother Brown's messages. I said, whatever message is there? I want you to know, he held up his Bible and he had a picture of Brother Brown in the back. He held his picture up and he said, I want you to know, I know he was the prophet. I didn't say it to him, but I wanted to tell him so bad. But I thought, nah, just had fired the fuel to the fire. If he really knew who that prophet was, he'd want me reading out the messages. Yeah. But he didn't. I don't care how many pictures he would add in his Bible. He didn't know who that prophet was. He didn't know who Jesus Christ was. He didn't know the word. And preached for years. Yes. And still didn't know God. And jealousy, just like Cain did. When more people started coming, women getting their dresses straightened up and things, he got jealous. Yeah, he got jealous. Couldn't take it. And if he'd had the opportunity, he probably would have slayed me. But he slayed me with his tongue. Yeah, but that's fine. I stand on Jesus Christ, his word. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh my. Saints, the word has to be a reality in your heart. Every word. Amen. God help us. Do you see why he said cry out for revelation? More than anything else in this life. You may need a roof on your house. You may need another car to drive. But I'm going to tell you what, you better cry out for revelation more than anything else in this life. Because if you really get a genuine revelation, Seek ye first the kingdom. All these other things shall be added unto you. Amen. God knows your needs before you even ask. Is that right? Absolutely. Doesn't he feed the sparrows? How much more are you? He takes care of them. What about you? But some people just get so nervous and so uptight because things ain't going just right and they can't buy this and can't get that when they want it and this, that, and the other. Just put all your trust in him. He's real, isn't he? If he's a real God, doesn't he take care of these things? But if he's not real, we're talking about a different situation. Ain't no real God there to take care of things for you. But if you see he's real, you know he will provide for you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will be your all in all. He will be your great I am, the truth, the light, and the way. You will recognize his presence. You will give your whole life to Jesus Christ if you really know he's real. Amen. May our Lord Jesus Christ bless you again with his word. Let us all stand. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Yes. Let's sing a little chorus I love so well. You are my all in all. It's in these little, I got a loose leaf of it, but it's in here if you don't know it. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we think of how many times you've picked us up, how many times we've been dry, you filled us up. Only thing I can say, Lord, is grace, grace, grace. I love you, Lord. I pray, Lord, and ask that you would implant in our hearts something, Lord, very special. Time's almost over. There's a reason, Lord, why we're here. You've seen every one of us here, even tonight, before the world was ever formed, because you're God. And I believe that you are, Lord. Oh, God, we're so thankful for your mercy and love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for your kindness and your gentleness, your love. You told us, Lord, you told us that love suffereth long. But Lord, your love seems so long-suffering. It almost can't be explained. Why you'd keep holding on to people? Why you'd keep holding on to people that make so many mistakes? But yet, Lord, I guess if it wasn't for our shortcomings and making mistakes, we wouldn't probably appreciate the blood. I wouldn't appreciate the price you paid for us. No doubt, Lord, that's why we were born in sin, shaping iniquity. Come in this world speaking lies and cheating and stealing. Terrible thoughts. Evil, wicked ways. And then, Lord, to see you come in and pick us up and change our lives. Change the very desire, what we want in life. I appreciate it, Lord. I'm sure each one of these people appreciate what you do for them. But yet, Lord, there's something inside of us crying out for a higher walk with you, a greater walk with you, a place, Lord, of being completely led by the Holy Spirit. A true life, walking by faith and not by sight. For the things that we see are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for mercy and grace. Help each one of us now, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit and through your word, you've helped each one of us somehow in some portion to stir our hearts to press on and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Oh God, let us never give up. Been many times, Lord, in our life that we thought we'd done gave up. But that's, Lord, when you picked us up and continued to carry us. It's like the little footprints in the sand of time. The footprints, Lord, oftentimes in life, as the little poem goes, we've only seen one set of footprints when we started out with seeing two. And we thought in our minds how true it is, Lord, we was walking alone and just things was going terrible. But we didn't realize it was you carrying us, Lord. I'm so thankful you carried me many times. But Lord, help me be a big boy. And walk, Lord, the way you want me to walk. That, Father, my steps will be your steps will be my steps. And you'll be the same today as you was yesterday and shall be forever. And grow up as calves in the stall to the fullness of the stature of Christ, the unity of the faith. Oh, grant it, Lord. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I'll bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. God protect you and keep you safe. And bring us back the next appointed time if he should tarry. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen. Praise his holy name.